I'm going to let you, we're starting this, will be our first introduction to our Old Testament survey, and we'll get to some certain scriptures here in a moment. The first thing we'll do, let's have a word of prayer. And Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. We just ask, Lord, you'd help me to be clear and straightforward. And Lord, we pray also that you would help each one to learn things that are necessary. Help us to understand the truth of your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, when we talk about the Old Testament, doing an Old Testament survey, let me explain to you what this is. This is not a verse-by-verse study. It is an overview of the Old Testament, of each book of the Old Testament, and going through the Old Testament in such a way that to give you a well-rounded understanding of the Old Testament and what divisions there are. There are a lot of different things that need to be understood in the old, about the Old Testament. There are divisions of the Word of God. There are what we would call dispensations. You need to understand dispensations correctly, because there are people that are hyper-dispensationalists, and there are different people like that that teach different things. For example, you have some people that teach that people in the Old Testament got saved by works and people in the New Testament get saved by grace. That's not true. Nobody gets saved by works. All right? And so salvation has always been by faith. Matter of fact, you go before to the fall of man, you go before the fall of man, man didn't have a law, did he? He just had one thing that God told him not to do. And all he had to do was believe God. And Eve, what? Leaned to her own understanding. She believed her eyes. She believed her own wisdom. She believed her own thought process. She believed the devil. She didn't believe God. And then Adam didn't believe God either. And that's where we are right now. So we sit there and we look at this, we look at those type of things, and we look at what happened. All they really had to do was just trust God, right? And before the fall, God didn't tell them that they were, you know, it wasn't like some people have taught that they didn't know the difference between right and wrong. That's what innocent means. They had no idea what right and wrong. That's not what innocence means. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. God said, this is right, this is wrong. They knew the difference between right and wrong. God told them what it was. All they had to do was believe God. They didn't believe God. And here we are. And so we look at that whole focus on that. And so when we look at this and we talk about the Old Testament, the question comes out, why study the Old Testament? Why study? What's the purpose of studying the Old Testament? Why would we do that? All right. And then, and more to the point, what's the purpose if this is not going to be a verse by verse study? What is the purpose of this course? What do we hope? What's the objective? What do we hope to accomplish? So, here's the goal of the course. Okay, first of all, the idea is to provide a foundation for lifelong study of the Bible. To give you a foundation for lifelong study of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us what? Study to show thyself approved unto God. What? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Correct? All right. So there is the whole thing. When we have a course or any type of education, whether it be a Bible college, whether it be a secular college, whether it be whatever type of, whether it be a high school, whether it be a grammar school, the idea is not to give you the sum of all knowledge. The idea is to give you the tools and the understanding to enable you to continue to learn. So that's the goal here. And then secondly, the goal is, with the purpose of a lifelong study of the Bible, is what it tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It tells us that we're to grow in grace and knowledge and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The study of the Word of God, of any of the Word of God, all right, is very simply that we grow in grace. All right? We grow in grace. In other words, we continue to grow and change. God's grace changes our behavior, changes who we are, changes our understanding. Grace that does not change your life is not grace. Grace is not just the forgiveness of your sins. That's part of it. That's not all of it. There's a lot of talk about grace, and all they focus on is just the forgiveness of sins. All right? It's not just the forgiveness of sins. Grace impacts your life. So, grace will change your life. And then grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the Bible, when we look at the Bible, when we look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it, the theme of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophets, the people that are there, all the things that are going on throughout the Bible, we see they all relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. They show us a clear lineage and a clear fulfillment of all the prophecies so we can know who the Savior is, who the Messiah is. They show us things about Him, about His character, His nature, His purpose. We see things about Him all the way through. So Jesus is called, John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 19, He's called the Word of God, is He not?
No.
All right. So He's the Word of God. And you go all the way into the creation, and God said, there's the Word of God. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the focus of that. The focus of the Bible is there for so that we can learn. And so then again, we go back to the idea of why the Old Testament? Why study the Old Testament? There's some people that actually believe that the Old Testament, you don't need to study it. That was for Israel. And so therefore, you don't need to bother with it. You got the New Testament. Don't worry about the Old Testament. So why study the Old Testament? Well, first of all, it's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Yeah.
All right, for correction, for for instruction in righteousness. I'm not quoting exactly here, but it is, I think it's 1 Timothy 3:16, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong on the one I'm thinking of, but on the verse reference there. But the point being is that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So, There's the whole point on that. I'm not sure if I got the verse reference right or not. I have to double check it. Huh? Is it? Did I get the verse reference right?
Second
okay.
Timothy.
Huh?
Second Timothy
3:16. Okay. All right. So I didn't write down all the verses, but the whole point of this is why study the Old Testament. Well, first of all, it's the Word of God. It's Scripture. All right. It is Scripture. So therefore, it's profitable. Therefore, we need to study it. And secondly, understanding the Old Testament, the more you learn in the Old Testament, it will improve your understanding of the New Testament. There are things that you will not see correctly in the New Testament, or you won't see in its fullness in the New Testament, until you understand the correlation to the Old Testament. Throughout the New Testament, what is quoted? The Old Testament. Right? So there we have that. And then also, many people are in error one way or another on this, but first of all, there are two errors that we need to address here. about the study of the Old Testament. The first one is the one I just mentioned. The people that say, well, we got the New Testament, we don't need the Old Testament. That was written to the Jews. All right? Well, there's the first misunderstanding or error in understanding, because while they are correct that the Old Testament was written to Israel, that does not mean it was not written for us. All right? Because it's Scripture. All Scripture is profitable. And we'll get to that in just a moment. So then, when we look at that, the other idea is that somehow that all of the Old Testament, New Testament, really is really about the church and Israel's forsaken. No, that's not true either. That leads to multiple errors in understanding. And so you need to understand the New Testament. I mean, the Old Testament as well as the New, and the understanding of both will help you understand the other even more. That's the whole point, the whole picture. It's the full, complete revelation of God that we look at that. If we want to look at a couple scriptures, by the way, biblically, turn with me to the book of Romans real quick. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Keep going past it. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So those things that were written aforetime, talking about the Old Testament, they were written for what? Our learning. And so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We would learn, and it would give us patience and comfort and give us hope. We learn things. There are a lot of things to learn in the Old Testament. If you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he starts out in verse 1, and he's talking about Moses and the children of Israel in that time, and the things that they did, and the failures that they had. And in verse 11 it says, now all these things happened unto them for in samples. In other words, living examples. In samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Because we are nearer to the end of all things, and the nearer to the eternal, the new heavens and the new earth, and nearer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that goes down that, nearer to the tribulation period, all these things that were before were written for our admonition. They're our warning. They admonish us to be careful and not make the same errors. And by the way, is it not true that nation after nation tends to make the exact same errors that Israel did? And isn't it true that churches after churches and denominations after denominations are making the exact same errors that Israel did in forsaking the Lord? For false religions and other gods. We were warned in Galatians and in 2 Corinthians about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. So we're warned about that. So we understand that. So it wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. That's why it's very important to understand it. As a matter of fact, you think about it. You cannot understand the book of Revelation properly at all without understanding things from Daniel, from Ezekiel, from Zechariah. I mean, several other passages, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they talk on there. We look in there, and then we understand the difference. We learn by comparing those things, we can understand the difference between the new heavens and the new earth and the millennial kingdom. We see the difference on those two things. There's a lot of different things that we need to understand. So I could spend a long time looking at the Psalms and the Proverbs. They have principles and they have things that we all need to understand. So as we look at that, why study the Old Testament? Well, because it's required to understand the Bible, and it's required to be approved of God. As quick as I can make it. Simple as I can make it. So when we look at the Old Testament, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to look at 39 different books. All right, 39 different books. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing when we talk about these 39 books. They have what they call classical, what you would call a classical division. In other words, that's the way men generally divide them up. If you've been to a Bible college or something like that, most times they would use these divisions or something very similar to it. For example, they would, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, they would call the Pentateuch. And then they would look at Joshua through 2 Chronicles as being the historical books. And then they would look at Psalms and the Song of Solomon and things like that, Job and Psalms and those things as the poetical books. And then they would look at Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as the books of wisdom, you know, wisdom literature. And then they would look at the major prophets and the minor prophets. And then some other books that would go into those categories. Ezra and Nehemiah would go on the historical side, and we'd go to that. So they would divide up all those books in those different ways. And it's a handy way to divide them up, but you need to understand that those are the ways that men divide them up. It's not the way God divided them up. We'll look at that in just a moment, and I'll make you understand that. But, you know, so you have major prophets, minor prophets, all that type of thing. So that's something we need to understand about that. But the danger of doing that, which you have to be careful of doing that, is it tends to sometimes people begin to not study the Bible. How many of you have done a serious study of, for example, the book of Ecclesiastes, or the book of Job, or the book of the Song of Solomon? All right, those are things that are not touched very often, and you know the modernists, they've taken the Song of Solomon and taken something that God intended to be precious, and they've turned it into, they've tried to make it say, well, it's pornographic. No, it's not pornographic. The Bible doesn't have any pornography in it. What's wrong, what's pornographic is their minds. But many times you don't hear much teaching about that. You don't hear much preaching out of the book of Song of Solomon. You don't hear much of that taught about it, and people kind of just disregard it. But if it's scripture, isn't it not profitable? So you have to be careful, because what happens is sometimes people will take these divisions, they look at these divisions, and we have to be careful not to sit there and say, well, this is more important than that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we have to be careful about that. But those are the classical divisions, if you would. But it might be interesting to let you know that there are biblical divisions. There's biblical divisions. All right. Now there are some obvious divisions in there. There are the divisions of the books of Moses, right? The first five books of the Bible, and then the book of Joshua, dividing them up by authors. So you've got the Kings and the Chronicles. Those are divisions and things like that. The Psalms being a division. You know, different books like that, and then you have these, the you know, each person's book and by their name, by the prophet who God used to give it to us. And let me once again remind you that these prophecies didn't come by the will of man or anything, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? So we need to have an understanding of these things. That's why it's important to study these things. But there's a division there in throughout the New Testament, and really throughout the Bible, but more particularly, let's look at the New Testament, and we look at the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. If you were to look at several verses, Matthew 7:12, Matthew 22:40, Luke 16:16, John 1:45, Acts 13:15, Romans 3:21, you would see things like the law and the prophets. And then you will see other places where there's at least one place where the Lord Jesus Christ specifically references David's quoting this quote from David in the Psalms, and he says the Psalms. All right? And you will look through there. You'll see, as it's written in the law and in the prophets and all these different things like that, you'll see the prophets. And you get down to the book of Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. You can turn there if you like, would. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Matter of fact, let me go back there and just give you the context of that. Luke chapter 24. This is after the resurrection of Jesus, right? And in verse 13, remember them on the Emmaus Road, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew not near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And of course, he asked them, "But what are these matter of sad communications?" They said, "Boy, are you a stranger here? You don't know what's happening." And he told them about what happened to himself, the crucifixion, and everything like that, and what the women came and said that he had risen, and everything. And then he said that. In verse 25, he then said he unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All right, and he went forth, and then later he's made known to them. When they break bread, he vanishes, and then he appears to them again. When they were afraid and they thought it was a spirit, and he said, "Behold my hands and my feet," in verse 39, "it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And go down to, and you know, he ate before them, and verse 44, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I yet spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." So the Lord Jesus Christ makes three divisions. He makes the law of Moses, he makes the prophets, and he makes the Psalms. So he makes three divisions there, and the reality of it is you look through there, you know, people say, well, the first five books are the law, but they also contain the words of prophets. They contain the law, but they also contain the words of prophets, and they also contain historical data, right? They have history there, all right? And then you look through all the histories. You look through Judges. You look through Ezra. You look through Nehemiah. You look through 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel, all those books that we would call historical books. Samuel himself was a prophet, was he not? All right, so he's a prophet, even though that's considered a historical book, more or less. And throughout those books, there are prophets, Isaiah and Elijah and Elisha and Micaiah and so many others that are mentioned in there. All right, that are talked about in there, people that prophesied. Some unnamed prophets are in there. All right, so there are prophets, and there's history there too. You go into the different books of the Bible. You go into the Psalms and the Proverbs. There's prophecy in there. All right, there's the prophets. You have the work of the prophets. You have those things like that. And so the prophets really pretty much covers the entire Old Testament, because there's prophecy in every book there. And then the Psalms are set apart, and then the law is set apart, because there are several things about the giving of the law. You have the giving of the law in the Exodus, you have it in Leviticus, you have it in Deuteronomy, some in Numbers as well. As well as that, they have laws and commandments and things that he gave them to do as a nation. And so we look at all of that, and so those are the divisions that Jesus gives them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. He doesn't talk about the history books and all that type of stuff, but he's talking about all the scriptures. All right, so the biblical divisions, I would say, would be the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That would be the biblical, but just that we understand that and understand the difference between the two. In other words, so that makes, if the prophets encompasses part or all of every book in the Bible, every book in the Old Testament, then I guess that means that they're all pretty important. And the thing is, if you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in all of them, then they're all important, because we're to do what? Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's the point there. I want you to understand that. So this is the introduction as we look into that. So this is what we're going to be studying. And now finally, when we look at these books, there are a lot of different things to be considered there. There are a lot of different events and time periods that are there. You have the creation, the study of the creation. You look at for example, if I were to look at and talk of these periods, time periods, based upon people, right? In the Bible, I would say, like from Adam to Noah would be from creation to the flood, right? So during that time, we have the creation, we have the Garden of Eden, we have the fall of man, all right? We have the population of the earth, and the lineage of the Messiah explained, and then we have the flood that comes on to that. And then after the flood, what's post-flood? The post-flood world is Noah to Abraham. We have that post-flood. Of course, everything now is post-flood, but just look at that, this post-flood world. We have the covenant that God gave to Noah. All right, God gave a covenant before. He gave a covenant to Noah, and we have that time. We have the building and repopulating of the earth, and then in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis, we have a clear picture of all the nations and how they came to be and everything like that, what they call the Table of Nations and all that type of stuff. Some people do. So we look at all of that, and we get down to God calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, all the way through there and all that type of stuff that goes on at that time. And then we see God calling Abraham, and we have from Abraham to Moses. We have God calling Abraham out, establishing a covenant with him, then establishing his covenant with Isaac, and then with Jacob after him. We see the building of the 12 tribes of Israel. So we see the building of the nation of Israel, and again, more of the nations around them, what we would call Semitic nations. But we see the building of that. We see the building of the nation of Israel, and going all the way up to their captivity in Egypt. All right, them being set down in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. And so we see all of that pictured. And then we see God calling Moses. And from Moses to Saul, we see them ruled, brought out of Egypt. We see them delivered from Egypt and brought through the wilderness and brought into the promised land under Joshua. and they live there, and they are living during that time frame under the law and being ruled by the law and by judges during most of that time. So from Moses to Saul, that's what happened. And when Saul comes along, they want what? They want a king. At the end of Samuel's reign, at the end of the judges, all right, Samuel being the last judge, and so they wanted a king. And so God allowed them to have a king. And so he picked up Saul. And then from Saul all the way to Rehoboam, they were ruled as one nation by the law and by kings. The law never departed. The king was supposed to meditate in the law. The law was never to depart from the king's mouth. He was supposed to meditate in the law all the days of his life. Now, we know they failed miserably many times like that, but they were there under David, then under Solomon. Solomon became apostate, and his son Rehoboam took over, and God divided the nation back then at that point. And so there were two nations, Judah and Levi, that stayed with Judah, and then the other 10 nations, 10 tribes, became Israel. So there was a northern kingdom of Israel under Jeroboam, starting out under Jeroboam, and then the others under Rehoboam. And that's where we go through there, and we see the differences between the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. And that goes all the way through that time. As we go from that time, we have from Rehoboam to Zedekiah. They're a divided nation. And during that time, Israel, the northern kingdom, is carried away and punished by God and carried away captive by the Assyrians. And then later, all the way down the time to Zedekiah, during the time of Jeremiah the prophet, what happened? Well, Nebuchadnezzar came in and carried him away to Babylon for 70 years. So we see that picture as well, and that's a period of time. And then we from Zedekiah to Nehemiah, they're in Babylonian captivity for those 70 years, and there's several passages of scriptures, several books of the Bible that are around that period of time. And that's part of what we will do as we go through this, try to give you an understanding of what time period all of these prophets were, where they were, things like that. And so then you go through there and you look from Nehemiah to Malachi. They came back under Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel. Alright, they came back from Babylon, rebuilt the city, rebuilt the temple. But they were under tribute to nation after nation after nation after that time. They were never 100% free until we get to the time all the way up, and that time goes from Nehemiah to Malachi, and they're there during that entire time. And then from Malachi to John the Baptist, there's a 400 year silence where there's no scriptures given, no Bible, got no prophet, no word of God, and they were without any type of word from God, direct from God. All right? And so, and of course, Catholicism likes to throw in all these other books, the Maccabees and all this type of stuff. But those are history, and a lot of them have a lot of clear errors in them. That's why we don't consider them Scripture. Scripture has to be without error. All right? And so, but the bottom line is there's that period between the Old and New Testaments, which we call, but they're still under that tribute. And when we get to the New Testament, they're under tribute to who? Rome. All right, they were under tribute to the Assyrians. They were under tribute to many different people during that time, to Egypt at times, to Assyria, to the Medes, to the Persians. You go down the list of the people that they were. They never had the glory that they did. And then when they got to the point, they were just a province of Rome, and they were several provinces of Rome, and Herod, who was an Edomite, was the ruler over them. He was their king, if you will. And so they did not have a king after the lineage of David during that time. during all those times. So they, so that's what we see with the entire Old Testament. That's the kind of picture you get through there. Now, all of those books, they fit in certain places. When you're reading a book of the Old Testament, it's probably a good idea to know exactly when it's taking place. And of course, you need to know who they're speaking to. You need to know all of these different things about the Old Testament. But as we go through the Old Testament, these are the type of things that you're going to have to consider, and you're going to have to look at. And we're going to look at high points, and we're going to also look at what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a list of any clear prophecies about the Messiah, about the Savior, as we go through the books of the Old Testament. So we want to see all of these things. We'll look at all of these things, but we will go through all of them. And so we will have basically have 16 weeks of going through the Old Testament in this way. Any questions is what I've said thus far? Any questions at all? All right. Did everybody understand what we were saying? There's no problem with that? All right. So, all right. Well, then we'll close right there. And Brother Larry, if you dismiss us with a word of prayer, and we'll go on and head to the house.